starts human, but I think that the wild beast is then inhabited by Satan, much as Judas was inhabited by Satan. But in Judas's case, lucky guy, not really. Satan left him, Judas realized the heinousness of his crime, and he hung himself from a tree. Hello everyone, Martin Zenner. This is the Revelation series, once again coming to you from the laundry room. You are on the laundry cam. Welcome here. I have the idols behind me, the idol of the washer, the idol of the dryer. They do kind of look like they're lording it over, and certainly the washer and dryer do lord it over the laundry room. The dryer is set upon high. We know that Israel worshiped their false gods on the high places. These be your gods, O Israel. But since I am known to wear the same clothes for a week, I do not succumb to such temptations as the gods of the dryer and the washer. So today, I am going to talk to you about the number of the beast. The number of the wild beast is the number of humanity. Both numbers are the same because they represent humanity and the wild beast. And you know what that number is. But going back for a second to why I think it's important to know that the wild beast begins as a human. For one thing, it says it's the number of a man, of a man. This is the genitive case of the noun mankind, anthropos. Let's look at the verse, and then I'll give you the reason why I think that the beast becomes inhabited by Satan. Well, I'll just tell you now, is because when the wild beast is cast into the lake of fire, he is tormented for the eons of the eons. Lake of fire is not the second death for three beings, the beast, the adversary, and the false prophet. I believe these to be spiritual beings. For everyone else, human beings, the lake of fire is the second death. But the lake of fire is not called the second death until the unveiling 2014. It is not the second death in Revelation 2010 when the beast, the adversary, and the false prophet are cast there. Human beings would be destroyed immediately by fire. Since the wild beast, adversary, and the false prophet are not, it tells me that they are now supernatural beings. What happens to the human being who is the wild beast, who becomes inhabited by Satan, or a demonic spirit? Yeah, you're right. It's not going to be Satan himself, because the adversary is his own entity. And the three cast into the lake of fire alive are the beast, the adversary, and the false prophet. Therefore, the adversary himself cannot be inhabiting the wild beast. So it will not be a possession by Satan, as was experienced by our poor friend Judas Iscariot. It will be a high-ranking spiritual adversary who will inhabit the wild beast, or so I believe. I can't bring myself to be really adamant on this as I usually do. Things I'm sure of, I can be more adamant. Things I'm not 100% sure of, I will tell you that. And so I will hedge my bet somewhat, but it's just curious to me why this passage I'm about to read you would say it is the number of a man, and then later this man is cast into the lake of fire where he's tormented for the eons of the eons. Humanity is not tormented for the eons of the eons in the lake of fire. They are dead. Thus, the lake of fire is the second death. And I'm smart enough to know what death is. Some people don't. Many, many people I have talked to don't know what death is. They think it's another form of life. That's why God has to say, in Revelation 20, I don't know where it is, 5 or 5:10, the dead do not live until the 1,000 years are finished. That might be Revelation 5:10, or it might be 20 verse 4. The dead do not live. Dead people do not live. It seems a redundancy to say that, but it is necessary to say it because our spiritual sensitivities have been dumbed down, and we need to be told that dead people are not alive. Death is the opposite of life. Even when used figuratively, it describes someone who is dead to the things of the world. It's as though they are unconscious. It is as though they are non-responsive to things. That guy's dead to the world. He's dead to everything you tell him. Well, the only reason we know what that figure means, the guy's obviously not dead, he's walking around, is that we know what literal death is. It is oblivion, it is unconsciousness, it is to be lacking a soul. That is, there's no perception. There's no knowledge of anything in the grave. And that verse would be found in Ecclesiastes chapter 11. So, anthropos is the word used. I promised you I was going to read this, haven't done it yet. I'm going to do that right now. From the laundry room here on 17th Street Southwest in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Now let me find the passage here. I've read it to you a couple times, but I want to read it to you again. Here is wisdom. No. Start here. Verse 17. That no one may be able to buy or sell except the one having the emblem of the wild beast or its name or the number of its name. Here is wisdom. Let him who has a mind calculate the number of the wild beast, for it is the number of humanity. I know the Concordant version and every other version says mankind, but this is a sexist translation. It's not mankind, it's humanity. So the number of humanity is the same number of the wild beast. So it's the number of a man and it's the number of a breed of creation, namely humanity, and its number is 666. And now to give you the significance of that. So, well, I'm going to do that. Yes, I am going to do that. The precise form used here is the genitive case of the noun humanity. The genitive case says is of the. It describes what who belongs to, what belongs to this. And this is a number of the man. It's the number of the man. It belongs to him. It's also the number of humanity. It belongs to humanity. So the number 666 is the number of a man because the man's name is appropriate to his position as the head of humanity. This is related. Humanity is obviously related to the person who at this late date of this eon will be considered the head of humanity, because in the man of lawlessness, in the Antichrist, will be concentrated all the attainments of humanity in alienation to God. All the attainments of humanity in alienation to God. In other words, this will be the best that humanity can do apart from God. And when I say apart from God, obviously, I mean in the relative sense, because nothing in the world can be apart from God absolutely, because he is operating all things after the counsel of his own will. Many people don't understand the difference between the absolute and the relative perspective. Some things are not of God relatively. Satan is not of God relatively. Absolutely, he is of God. It's a very simple concept. Some people don't have certain part of their brain that enables them to understand a simple concept like the absolute and the relative viewpoint. I hold you responsible, for instance, for waking me up at 7 in the morning. You're responsible. And your answer might be, how can you say that, you godless person? God is responsible for everything. You're going against your own teaching, Martin. God's responsible. Yes, I know. God is responsible for everything. But relatively, you're responsible for waking me up at 7 a.m. And you're not going to do it unless God causes you to do it. Of course, of course, of course. Down the line, back to the big desk that says the buck stops here. So all the attainments of humanity in alienation from God, not of God, apart from God, relatively speaking, are found in the Antichrist. He is the flower of the race. The race has finally budded. Spring has come for humanity. You remember that thing they called the Arab Spring a couple years ago, where we had this great sweeping reforms coming to Saudi, the Saudi Arabia region, and it turns out that it's just another form of terrorism. So the spring, the flower of everything humanity can do, it smells nice at first, but it soon stinks. Yeah. Like if an egg frying smells good at first, you leave it on there, it stinks. Many things smell good at first, they stink later. When we wake up in the morning, my fellow human beings, we stink. Then we recover by putting on deodorant, brushing our teeth, putting on cologne. By the end of the day, we stink again. You've left us too long. Now we go to bed. We're pretty much one big stink wad in bed. Then we have to go through the whole process again. Humanity, in one sense, humanity at its core is godlike. God made humanity, Elohim made humanity in its own image. So there's that sense. But then there's this thing operating in us called death, and it's that mortality that causes us to stink, causes us to have to use deodorant and Crest, toothpaste, dental floss, all sorts of spritzes and sprays. And this is going to happen with the Antichrist. I'm telling you this. The Antichrist is going to be the spritzed version of humanity. Everything humanity contains, everything humanity can be. The key phrase is in alienation from God. So it's most fitting that the number of his name should correspond with the number of humanity. And there is a reason why six is the number of humanity. And I'm looking at my time. And tomorrow I'll say this. I'm going to tell you what the number six means, why there are three number sixes here, and why the Antichrist will be accepted as the fruit of everything that humanity can attain. But unfortunately, it is done through the avenue of sin. And the avenue of sin belongs to that part of humanity that takes pride in appearances. That part of humanity that sins, that falls short of the glory of God, that it's interested in how things look and how things smell in the flower, the bud, not the roots, but what you see on the outside. This is sin. It's all wanting of the glory of God. And the one person who is going to bring this outward admiration and this Hollywood wall type of admiration will be the man of lawlessness, the key word there, lawless, key word being sin. And unless you are key, unless you have been keyed by God to see things as God sees them and as the Spirit sees them, you will be looking at 666 and you will completely miss the importance and the import of 666.